Okay, let's go. Let's open up to Romans chapter 7. You know, this is the third week in this series, and I finally titled it this morning. You know, I was like, well, Austin asked me when he was going to put it on the web. He's like, well, what's the title of it? And I don't know. I'm not sure. And so the title of the series is Controlling Your Soul. Controlling Your Soul. You hear me? Somebody hears that and they're going, and you know, once we can upload out here again onto the LED sign, then it will be, you know, people will go by and controlling your soul. How? Because people don't really know what the soul is. But as I said to you, the soul is the mind, will, and the emotions. In Greek, it's the Greek word psuche. Man is tripartite, three parts, spirit, soul, and body. The spirit is called pneuma. We get words like pneumatic. How many of y'all have a pneumatic tool of some sort? Air power tool. Sure, I do too. And pneuma is the breath. It's the Greek word for spirit. And that's the real you, the spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul, a mind, will, and emotions. And you live in this thing called a soma, S-O-M-A. Soma is the Greek word for body. And it just simply means this dirt bag is what it is, literally. Now think about it. What were you made out of? Dirt. Is there anybody in here who's not a dirt bag? You guys are in a great mood today. I really love you. I appreciate that. I'm not a dirt bag. Yes, you are. I didn't say you're a dirt ball. I said you're... Okay, let's go on. Praise God. Chapter 7 of Romans. So we have been talking about, and the title of the message today, now the series is Controlling Your Soul, but the title of the message today is, Are You Body Ruled? Are you body ruled? Are you body ruled? And being body ruled, see, what we have been establishing from the beginning is that your spirit needs to be by the Holy Spirit controlling your soul. Your spirit man, by the Holy Spirit, needs to be the one that's having the greatest influence and in your mind, will, and emotions. But your body, on the other hand, is wanting to have that same influence and usurp the authority of the Spirit of God inside your spirit man. So the battle is going on for your mind, your will, your emotions. On one side, you have the body fighting for control of the soul. And people that are body-minded, the body controls the soul. People that are spirit-minded, the spirit in them, their spirit, which is where the Holy Spirit lives, is actually controlling the soul. Now, somebody say, well, control, what do you mean control? What I'm talking about is having the greatest influence upon. So your spirit should have a greater influence and have and be able to direct your thoughts throughout your day. But in too many cases, the body's the one doing it. Fleshly desires usurp spiritual desires, fleshly things, getting into the flesh. How many of y'all have, you know, you've heard, and we've talked about it before, when people get off into the flesh, we don't want to be there. Now, you are in a flesh and bone package here, made from the dust or the dirt, and one day you will return there. I mean, it's really that simple. And but in the meantime, who's going to control things? Is the Spirit of God going to be able to speak through your spirit man where you recognize it in your thoughts and you're taking the necessary steps to renew this thing with the Word of God? If you don't renew your mind with the Word of God, you won't think in line with the Word of God. And the devil will try to slip things in and slip things by you. And people get off into these fleshly things. And I'll tell you what, they don't recognize that they're in the flesh and not in the spirit. Now, everybody starts off in the flesh. You do. I mean, you're not born this spiritual giant of sorts. And this is a training process that we go through in our lives of putting the word in. Put the word in. Put the word in. Put the word in. Keep hearing the word. Keep reading the word. And when the thoughts that arise in you, feelings, emotions, things that come up inside of your thinking that don't line up with the word, you can very readily see that's not the Spirit of God in your human spirit speaking to you. It's fleshly desires. In fact, the enemy could be talking to you. So it's important to recognize who's talking to you. Is it your body or is it your spirit? The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, the book of Proverbs says. Searching the inward parts of the belly, remember that? In other words, he's going to lead you by his Holy Spirit on the inside of your spirit. You might as well get a hold of this. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Your spirit, soul, and body. Three parts. Interesting. What are you supposed to do with your spirit? Well, the spirit man needs to be born again. That's that. When you got born again, that's where that happened. When you received Jesus, you became a new creation in Christ. So your spirit man's born again. Nothing happened with your body. It stays the same, right? When you got saved, you didn't suddenly lose all the wrinkles. You know, you're 30 pounds overweight or whatever, and suddenly you got saved. Oh, I believe in you, Jesus. It all goes away? That'd be great, wouldn't it? So the body didn't change. The spirit changed, but the body didn't. What else didn't change? So what do we need to do with our thoughts? Need to renew them. Romans 12, verse 2 says to renew your mind with the word of God. You can tell people that don't read the word very much. You can say, oh, me, or oh, my, or amen. I mean, but the fact is, when people don't read the word and study the word very much, you can tell by the things they say. Now, it's not up to you to go around and judge everybody based on your estimation of where they're at. That's not your job. Your job is to deal with you before the Lord, not with me, not with somebody else, not with each of us deal with ourselves. You're going to answer before the Lord for your own life. Amen? So to kind of squash that in young Christians, they'll get turned on to the word, and then they want to go around and correct everybody else about bad confession. Years ago, that was something people would come along. BC, BC, BC. Well, aren't we a sweet fruit inspector? Yeah. Why don't you get your own confession in order? And you know what I'm saying. Anyway, but that goes on. Romans chapter 7. So today, what are we going to do? We're going to look at what it means to be body ruled and how to know if you are body ruled. This one's going to be pretty simple to spot pretty quick. Amen? Romans chapter 7, look at verse number 15. Paul writes, by the Holy Spirit, of course, for that which I do, I allow not, for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. Does that describe any of us? If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Look at verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that's what I end up doing. This describes a Christian whose body ruled. This is what was going on here. Now, there's not a one of us in here today, or online, I'm not leaving you out, or anywhere else, frankly, that doesn't have to deal with this. There's not a single one of us that can say, got this knocked. I've got this down. You want everybody to think that, then you're going to have to hide whenever you mess up. And that's what some folks have to do. Then they, you know, they've come off like they never miss it, and then when they do, they duck their head and hide from you. Well, that's not right. Everybody knows we're all in the same boat. It's a fellowship. Amen? Two fellows in the ship. Two fellowship. We're all in the same boat. And you're never going to get to the point in your life that one day you're never challenged here anymore. The Apostle Paul, can we all agree he was a great man of God? He had to deal with it. Peter, James and John, the sons of Boanerges. Scripture speaks of sons of thunder. They were thunder fans. No, not really. But they wanted to call fire down from heaven on some folk. And the Lord said, you remember what he said? You don't know what spirit you're made out of. You don't know where you're even coming from. Peter in the garden, when they came to get Jesus, drew his sword, took off the high priest's servant's ear, Malchus. Do you really think in the dark of the night, with the torches that were out there, I'm sure you've sat by a fire, all right, and you've seen, you know, it's not like having a bright LED spotlight or something or a halogen light. It's not like that. There's like shadows and stuff. And do you think Peter pulled out that sword and went, I'm going to get his ear? Do you suppose he drew it out going for his head and the guy moved and it caught his ear? Peter was trying to take his head off. Again, Jesus told him to put the sword up, heals the guy right there on the spot. I mean, Malchus became a believer right then. Right? In fact, everybody else there, of course the disciples believed, but everybody else, those soldiers standing around, they could have seen, who knows if the ear fell off or if it was just hanging there. And Jesus puts his hand and the thing is back whole. Don't tell me people around there didn't see it, but because the prince of darkness was having his moment, their hearts were so hardened, it didn't matter. They were going to get what they came. Get what they came after. They were going to arrest him and take him off. And Jesus actually said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down as I choose, and I'll pick it up again when I choose. They couldn't kill him. They tried to kill him on how many different occasions? And he turns around and walks back through the midst of them. All of a sudden, he's gone, you know. And even then, in the garden, Jesus said, I could call on 12 legions of angels to deliver me out of this in a moment's time. So, I mean, I'll tell you what. People, as human beings, we all struggle with fleshly dominance, or at least the attempt at the flesh to dominate in our lives. So, what does it mean to be body ruled? Now, every unbeliever is body ruled. And they don't really care, to tell you the truth. In fact, society condones a lot of the things that people are doing out there. This is all right. Whatever feels good, man, do it. If it feels good, go for it. Well, that's the theme song for all those into hedonism, amen? The pursuit of pleasure, if it feels good, I'm going to do it. Well, that's the voice of the flesh. Now, every unbeliever is body ruled, and they don't even seem to care. Now, what are some areas in your life that you give in to some weaknesses? And I'm not asking you to start naming them off, because that's none of my business. And frankly, but everybody knows where their area or areas of weakness lie. Every one of us. You know if you lose your patience quickly. That's a weakness. You know if you struggle with eating too much. That's a weakness. Amen? You know if you struggle with you know, whatever kind of temptation it may be, and the voice of the flesh just keeps driving you, you know. Do you hear me? This is probably not going to be a very popular message with your flesh, but I would suggest that you address the things that we're looking at today in your own personal lives. Amen. Your body should be subject to your spirit. Your spirit should not be subject to your body. I'll say that again. Your body should be subject to your spirit. Your spirit man should have ascendancy and authority over that fleshly man. When that happens, this stops. The thing that you wouldn't do or think you don't want to do that, you end up doing it anyway. We're going to come to the place where we're talking about discipline today. I know it's a dirty word to a lot of Christians. Discipline? I thought we were free in Jesus. Well, we are. We're free, though, but we need to discipline our flesh, our bodies. Your body will, man, it'll go down to the corner and buy a six-pack and pop it open and drink the whole thing in just no time. It'll go down and buy you some dope and get stupid. Pretty stupid if you go buy dope. Anyway. Your body will do all sorts of stuff, man. Your body will go with the flow if you don't stop it. We're just going to get wild. Well, I'll tell you, you know, the church needs to recognize this. You want to grow in the things of God? If you really want to grow in the things of the Word, the things of God, there's going to come a place in your life that you're going to have to start buffeting your body. I don't like that. Well, no kidding. What about the overeating? Overeating is a big deal. You realize that? That is one that is swept under the rug all the time. We laugh it off. No big deal. But do you know that there are, it's like the second leading cause of death in the United States. Did you realize that? Now, it's never attributed to overeating. Somebody will say, well, it's not. It's cancer, heart disease, or whatever. But overeating opens the door to all sorts of different types of infirmities. It's never noted that it's overeating and obesity that opened the door to that problem in your life or that issue. But overeating is a major problem in America today. There's an estimate that there's over 50-60% of the population is obese in the United States. That's crazy, man. That's just not right. Years ago, people did a whole lot more walking than they do now. You know, I love my son, but he's never walked a day in his life to school. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how many of y'all can say your kids, they don't walk to school? Unless you live right near the school, they're not walking to school. They're either taking the bus, driving their own car, or being driven to school. Right? In my day. In your day. You guys remember ever walking to school? Anybody in here have to walk to school? Oh, we're talking about old guys now. All right, I get it. Now, you can laugh all you want, but the fact of the matter is, in Wisconsin, we don't have this little, you know, shut down the businesses 3 inches of snow. Serious? First time I was, when we moved down here in 1981, and we had a little dusting. It was a couple, 3-4 inches, whatever. And we're like, okay. And my dad came home from the office, and he said, they shut Mercury down. I said, what? For 3 or 4 inches of snow? Yep. He said, well, the problem is, they tell me, you know, they don't have the plow equipment like we did up north. But it's crazy. So you would end up walking to school. Oh, it snowed this much? They'll get the roads plowed, no big deal. We were hoping many times, oh, they won't, they'll shut the school down. You got to have a foot of snow before they shut the school down. So when that, you know, well, they're going to have school, and then we'd start the rubbing our foreheads real hard, where mom would come up to wake us up in the morning and rub your head as hard as you can and get it really warm. I think I got a fever. No, it's getting cool as I put my hand on you. You know. There were some guys that tried that bar of lye soap sticking underneath your arm. You talk about a burn. But it's the stuff to get your temperature up. Yeah, you'll be paying a price there, boys. I mean, that's not a smart thing to do. But anyway, in my day, we had to walk to school. And I walked home from school many times in the snow. And had snowball fights on the way home from school. You know what I'm saying? Sure. How did I get off onto that? Oh, obesity. Yeah. Obesity. People walked a lot more. In Bible days, are you kidding me? I want to be like Jesus. Well, then get walking. I want to be like Jesus. Yeah, man, he had a donkey, you know. I mean, it was probably the nicest donkey there, but, you know, he had a nice donkey. But still, they walked everywhere they went. People were stronger in those days. Nowadays in America, it's kind of like, you know, it's almost like recoil, like, oh my gosh, it's like a sin if you have to walk somewhere. You know, you're in a building and you walk in, and which is your body going to go for, the elevator or the stairs? Oh, elevator. It'll just go there without even being told. It'll just walk over there. And people that take stairs then are weirdos, you know. No, we need to treat our body that way. It's important. It's important that you start to realize and recognize that your body's not the real you. Do you realize that? The real you is your spirit. You are not. What you see here is not the real you. All you can see of the real me is behind these eyes right here. That's the real me there. On the inside. Your body one day is going to die should Jesus not return. You get to that place where you pass away, and the body is then, you know, nice service done over it, and it's, you know, cremated, or it's embalmed and placed in a casket, placed in the ground. We're all going back to the ground. That's what it boils down to. But then there will be a resurrection. But the fact is, the real you goes on to be with the Lord. That's the spirit. That's the spirit. Thank you, Lord. Now, let's go on with this. I'm going to give you two quick points. That's all we're going to do today. Not going to be very long. Two quick points. And I will say this about the overeating thing. You can beat that. You can stop your body from ruling you with its dictates. I'm telling you, you can. And I've had a few different people come up to me and say, you know what, the Lord showed me that I needed to do that in my flesh, and I've lost, one brother told me 25 pounds, another told me he had lost 40 pounds right here in this church. Some of the sisters are doing it. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. It's a good thing. Get your body under control. You start telling it what it's going to do and stop letting it tell you how your day is going to go. Because if you let it have rule and reign in one area, it will slip over and seep into other areas of your life. And before you know it, you're being body ruled. And then you can go along and say, the thing I don't want to do, I end up doing, man. Why is that? Well, because every time your body screams Twinkie, you go and buy one. Or Brahms, Baskin Robbins, whatever. There comes a point you got to say, you know what? And I do this to me. I say, you shut up, and you're going to do what I tell you to do, and you're not going to have that. You're not going to have it. You're not. Somebody says, where are the chips? Pastor Dan, where are the chips? So you can stop your body from controlling you and dictating to you. You can do something about it. Now, I'm going to give you 2 points today on how to break your body's rule and control over your life. So get these down, okay? Get them down. This is important, very important. There's not a one of you in here, if you'll start now, there's not a one of us in here that if we will just start doing these things, begin, start somewhere. Start today. When you go to lunch, don't just default to the fattening stuff you've been eating for how many years and the garbage that you've been doing for all. Don't just default to that stuff. Say, okay, I've got to start making some better choices here. Yeah, well, I don't see any progress here. I've been doing this now for a whole week. And I've lost 2 pounds. Well, that's better than putting 2 pounds on. I don't know. I don't think we ought to be talking about diet. That's a problem in the church in America. We need to deal. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. 2 years ago, I was 194 or 5 pounds. So I got on the tennis court, and I had Ann shoot the video. I said, let's see what I'm doing here. You know, because I've played for all these years. I used to teach in clubs. So I looked, and I was like, you fat boy. That's it. I said, that's it. I'm not eating again for the next 6 months. That's it. I'm done. And I went on that program, and I lost, 25, 30 pounds, whatever it is. And now I get on there and lean. Yeah, by faith. Amen. Right. Number one, how to break your body's rule and control over your life. Number one, write this down. Uncontrolled behavior, or you could say undesirable behavior, is always rooted in misbelief. Misbelief. I didn't say unbelief. I said misbelief. See you, Larry. So uncontrolled behavior or undesirable behavior is always rooted in misbelief. What is misbelief? Misbelief is this. You're believing something is true, but it isn't. Misbelief is believing that something's true, but in fact, it isn't. You're being duped. You're being lied to. Unbelief, on the other hand, is just flat a refusal to believe the word, right? But this uncontrolled behavior, this falling into these patterns so readily, so easily, just sit down and eat a whole pie, go over there and do this and do that and whatever it may be. Now, we're talking about the food thing, but we could be talking about a lot of other stuff. And every one of you in here know where your area that you vowed last time you did that, you repented before the Lord, you said, I'm not doing it again. Then a few days later, you turn around and did it again. That's Romans 7, the thing I don't want to do, I end up doing. Why is it? This uncontrolled behavior is rooted in misbelief. Now, John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus said it this way. He said, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not some kind of misbelief that you are holding to. A lot of times people think this about one more time. Here's of eating that, drinking that, doing this, doing that, whatever it means. One more time really isn't going to hurt me. It'll be all right. And if you think that, you're in misbelief. You're believing something that's a lie. And the flesh feeds off of that. So what's important is that you identify the area of misbelief. Now, there's a way to do this, and everybody in here knows this, but you probably haven't had it laid out before you this way. Every time that you get ready to enter into some kind of deliberate behavior that you know isn't right. You know you shouldn't look at that. You know you shouldn't think like that. You know you shouldn't eat that. You eat that, it's going to lead to this, that, and the other. It's there, so I ate it. Have you ever, you were going to have just a little small piece of pizza. Somebody had pizza. I go through this temptation a lot because he'll bring pizza home. And so I'll go and I'm like, man, there's half a pizza right there. Oh, I'll just have one piece. I did that one day. I just had one piece. Suddenly I had another piece. Nobody's here. I'm hungry. Man should be able to eat. I provide. I paid for this. All these excuses start falling in line. Before you know it, ate the whole stinking thing. And here's what happens. Okay, there is some self-talk. Here's what I wrote down. All behavior, deliberate behavior that is preceded by an internal monologue or self-talk. Every deliberate behavior that you enter into is preceded by an internal monologue, or you could call it self-talk. And what is that? Now, when we know that we're spirit, soul, and body, it's not a big deal. We know that it's our body telling us, go ahead, it'll be okay. Just run a little more tomorrow. Just make sure you get out and work all those calories off. You'll be all right. Your spirit's going, you eat that, you're going to want another one. Get the stuff you know you should be eating, right? So here's the banter. It goes back and forth. That's that internal monologue that's going on, or dialogue, if you will, between your spirit and your body. And there's never any good sense to you eating something that you know good and well. You're trying to watch what you're eating, and there's something that's loaded with fat. And, if I just have one piece of pecan pie. How many calories in a piece of pecan pie? 500. That would all depend on the size of the piece of pie. All depend on the size. Now, the size of a piece of pie that I will be 900. You know what I'm saying, right? Can't you just smell it now? See, that's what your flesh goes, oh, wonder. And did I have a piece of pecan pie at whenever the last time we all got together and you had pecan pie? Yeah, I did. Well, it's not a sin to eat a piece of pecan pie. But now if I eat the whole pie, now we've got a problem there. That's deliberate behavior, and it's really an uncontrolled, body-ruled person right there on the spot. So this internal conversation that occurs, before you engage in that deliberate behavior, why don't you just stop for a second and listen to the self-talk? Because it will reveal the misbelief that you are locked into that keeps opening the door for you to go down that road. Stop and listen to it. What kind of reasoning is going on? Because you have to identify the misbelief in order to kill the root. The problem is there's some kind of misbelief working in a person's life that says you can do that and everything will be okay. You can do that and it'll be all right. What do you suppose the person who gets off of drugs and gets clean and then suddenly they think, well, if I just have one hit, my friends, I'll just have one little, half a hit, whatever. The person that struggles with drinking get free and they say, well, what will it hurt if I have one drink? It is a slippery slope. Do you hear me? the person who has now lost all this weight and is doing well, and then they decide, I'm going to start stopping every day and getting me a malt at the wherever, the malt shop, wherever it is, you know. Next thing you know, you're big fat boy again is what's going to happen. Where do you start? You got to start somewhere. You start at the beginning. You start with this discipline. This is the thing. But here's where most people miss this, is they are not willing to suffer. I don't want to suffer. I am a man who believes in prosperity. I should be able to eat whatever good stuff I want to eat. Well, not everything that you can eat is good for you. It just comes down to realizing that your body, if your body is controlling your soul, it is going to control your destiny. And you are opening doors to sickness and disease by constantly giving in to the same habits over and over. And most of the time it's because people have convinced themselves. They default to some kind of mindset that has been there for a long time. They copied it from somebody else. Somebody else talked to them about it, or they witnessed it in their lives from a parent or a sibling or a friend or what have you. And they fall back into that mindset every time the temptation comes up. Well, I deserve this. I worked hard this week. Your body's always going to recoil from suffering. Your body's always going to recoil back off from discipline. You don't want to be disciplined. Are you kidding me? What do you think a disciple is? What's a disciple? A disciplined one. Amen. Yeah. So that's how your body talks to you. It will always push you to excess. It always pushes you to excess. It'll be all right. One more time. One more look at that pornography. It'll be okay. One more time with cocaine. Now they legalize this stupidity. I'm sorry. No, I'm really not sorry. That is a dumb thing. It's wrong. Okay. So I'm probably going to get on somebody's toes, but I don't really care. Now you can have how many plants? 3 plants you can grow in your house? What, for medicinal purposes? We're taking our medicine, man. You don't fool me. For years they had that stupid petition, sign this to get it all legal. Well, it's medicinal, it's medicinal. Well, then why don't you have to go to a doctor? Oh, you got to get a card. So you get a card, you send in, it's kind of like when my dad was a kid, to get a driver's license, you send into the mail and paid a buck and you got your driver's license. Big deal, right? You know that's true. He never took a driving test one. Anybody in here not take a driving test and get your license? Okay, y'all aren't old enough. My mom could tell you. She's 94. She's out there. She could tell you. But he never had to take a test. Well, why don't they make, okay, it should be prescription then. And it should be you have to go to the counter and you have to, and you can't go and buy excess of it. Now, come on, man. Now there's a place on every corner and the people that are pushing it are all wearing tie-dye. Yeah, I have a tie-dye shirt. At least I did. I don't know. We made tie-dye when I was in 6th grade at Camp Minicone. Praise God. Just don't get me started on that, man. You don't need to burn any brain cells out with that stuff. It's just, Anyway, but your body will pull you into these areas. Now, number two, quickly. This is one we've already kind of addressed it. Go to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. Your body, all right, needs to be shown. 1 Corinthians 9. You need to show your body who's boss. Show your body who's boss. Who's the boss? Is your body the boss? There's some of you in here, I know that you've lost weight. And I'm praising God with you. I'm praising God because it takes pressure off the internal organs. It takes pressure off the joints. It helps to get this thing under control. Here's the thing. I'm convinced that if you don't ever address the area of buffeting your body, you will never arrive to that place of spiritual strength that the Lord wants you to. Here's why. Because if your body is ruling your soul and the dictates of the flesh are squelching the voice of the Spirit, you will never rise to that place in Christ that you could or should. So it's time. You realize Jesus buffeted his body? Jesus was not born with sin, a sinful nature, but the Bible says Jesus was tempted in every point like you and I have been tempted. Now, let's just stop right there. You talk to yourself about this. You know the areas you've been tempted. You've been tempted to do this. You've been tempted to do that. Some of you gave into it. I know we've given into sin over the years. That's what, that's all about. I mean, that's what people do. You've been tempted. Jesus was tempted in every area. There's not a one that's left out. Jesus was tempted to retaliate and wipe out the Roman soldiers. Kill them. You ever been tempted? You felt like you wanted to kill somebody? Don't tell us, please. You ever been tempted? Well, you can just go down the list. You know what I'm saying. Jesus was tempted, but Jesus overcame every temptation. What do you think the 40 days in the wilderness was about for him? He was buffeting his body. His body was a flesh and bone body just like we have, and he was tempted, I guarantee you, in the wilderness. You know the devil came at him. Tempted in all points like as we are, yet what did he never do? He never sinned. This precedes, this taking authority over your flesh, buffeting your body, is part of growing into a spiritually strong adult. Because if your body's ruling you, your spirit, by the Holy Spirit in you, is not. So it's time. I want to show you something quickly in 1 Corinthians 9. Let's see, I think I brought this with me for this verse. Verse 25, look at it. And every man that strives, here it is right here. You guys got to get this. Every man, that's a person, no sex indicated there. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Temperate's a Greek word that means self-controlled. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. So he's saying you're supposed to be self-controlled in all these areas. You want to master, walk in that place of mastery, as it's pointed here. Every man that strives for the mastery is self-controlled. Now, in this particular version, this is the Amplified. I've been using it in this series. I don't normally do that, but this has been a different way. Let's see, where are we at? 1 Corinthians 9. And I tell you, the example of a boxer's brought out. Let's see if it's in verse 27. But look at this. And the King James reads this. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have my preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Here's what it reads in the Amplified. But like a boxer, I buffet, B-U-F-F-E-T. What's another way of saying that? Let's go to the buffet. No, I don't buffet my body, I buffet it. See, and that's what a lot of people do. Man, it's all you can eat. Just eat all that you can till you burst. But like a boxer, I buffet my body. Here's what that means. Handle it roughly. Discipline it by hardships and subdue it. For fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel and things pertaining to it, I myself should become unfit, not stand the test, and be unapproved and rejected as a counterfeit. Here's the thing about overeating. Here's the thing about not buffeting your body. It shows. Now, don't be looking around. Just look at yourself. I saw myself on video, and I was like, You know, you get an idea of how you look or how you sound. You know what I'm saying? Does anybody do that? Yeah. Here's how I look. I look, and it's ding, you know, your teeth, everywhere you smile, everything, ooh, you're just all put together. Then you look on film, and you're like, you know what I'm saying? That's kind of hard to do, but anyway. I didn't think I looked like that. How many of y'all have ever heard yourself on a tape or on a video or something? You're going, I sound like that? Do you know, I've heard myself so many times, I know exactly how I sound. And all I needed was one look on the camera to look exactly how I look, and that prompted me to change some things. Amen. So, a boxer buffets his body. He doesn't go into the ring all out of shape. If he does, he's down in one round. It's over. But those guys, they really treat their bodies harshly. And they train hard for, what, a year? You know, sometimes longer, but a fight's coming up, and, you know, these guys that are actually fighting these professional fights, and normally it's, 8 months off, something like that, and they take that time to really train hard. Because if they don't, they won't last. Well, here's what I can say to you spiritually. If you're not willing to buffet your body and gain control of this thing, so it's not controlling your soul, and your spirit man needs to be strengthened and built up, and you need to be praying in the spirit, building yourself up on your most holy faith. So it has the ascendancy. When you get into a fight, a spiritual fight, your body will cave in like that, and it'll convince your thoughts, you can't do this, and you'll quit. So there is a correlation to buffeting the body and excelling in spiritual things. This thing's trying to shut this thing down via the thoughts, all the excuses, all the reason why you can eat that stuff, why the reason you can do that, the reason you can fall into that thing, and it'll all be okay. That's always the lie. And the fact is, the wage of sin actually is death. So, remember Jesus said this. Good, stand to your feet. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 10, I believe it's around verse 21, about take up your cross and follow me. You remember that? The cross, taking up your cross, is self-denial. That's really what the cross is. You read that in context. In fact, the word fasting that's used in the Old and New Testament alike, literally it means self-denial. We always associate it with food, but fasting is really just a term that points at self-denial. I need to read you this one verse. You've got to hear this, okay? Isaiah 58. This tells us what the fast is supposed to do. Isaiah 58, and it's verse number 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? Do you get it? Self-denial, that's what fasting is, self-denial, to break the bands of wickedness. Where does the enemy come after you? In your body. He doesn't have access into your spirit. So he's got to use the thing that's right there and easiest to manipulate, and that's that old fleshly thing that'll convince you in your thoughts that it's okay. You'll be all right. Everybody's doing it. It's not true. Not everybody's doing it. Bow your head with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for this day. We give you glory this day in the name of Jesus for your power in our lives. We thank you, Lord God, that your word is alive and true. And we do adhere to that word. And we thank you, Lord God, for this day, that great encouragement that has been sown into the hearts of the believers here today to get a hold of being body ruled and say, uh-uh, no more. You've had your last day of ruling in me. You're not going to tell me what to do. You're not going to push the buttons, and you're going to start pushing away from the table. You're not going to finish everything on your plate like we were told growing up. I love my parents, but, you know, if you eat everything on your plate, and you get used to that, it could make you big as a house. Amen. So, Father, we're not going to let our bodies rule us. And we thank you even today in the name of Jesus that we are men and women that choose to discipline our bodies in the name of Jesus. And we give you praise and glory in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Can you all say amen?
Amen.
That's not that hard of a message to get a hold of, is it? Start doing it. Start doing it. You know the voice of the flesh. When it starts telling you, you'd rather sleep. You don't want to go to church. Who do you suppose is telling you that? You need to do this. You don't go to church. Sunday's your only day to golf. That's a lie. Find a putt-putt course. You can go there on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. You know.